We continue this year Rabbeinu Zal's story of Rav Nosson Zal's trip to Eretz Yisrael. This story, by the way, is a shiur in Teda. Rabbeinu Zal stresses that of all the Teda, of all the phases of Teda that a person can study, the deepest, the most precious, the holiest, is that which deals with Sipuri Mesias of Tzadikim. Because this is what can arouse a person's neshama to much greater heights and accomplishments, Bigdusha. Rabbeinu Zal had reached the city of Tzifas finally. He got there on Thursday. He was given a very warm welcome. And then on Friday, Erev Shabbos, Rabbeinu Zal began to visit the Mekomos HaKdoshim. Rabbeinu Zal tells that on Friday he went to the Kever, first the Tzion of the Arizal. And he tells that next to the Arizal there are two other quorum that look similar to it. The Kever of the Ramak, Samesha Kudavino, one of the Bali Kabbalah, Ramak Zal, and Rav Shlomo Yalkovitz, the Mechaber Av L'Chodedi. Those who have been to Tzfas, remember that the Arizal Tzion is one of three. The Arizal is the furthermost Tzion of three that lie parallel to each other. And adjacent to each other, you have these three Tzionim, and that is usually the first ones that a person visits when he goes to Tzfas. From there, the Rabbeinu Zal went down to the Kever of the Beis Yosef and the Alshech Zal. Beis Yosef, the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch, the Alshech Zal, who was the first Rebbe of Chaim Vital Zal, before he became a Talmud Arizal. Well, there too, I believe most or everyone here has been to Eretz Yisrael, to Tzfas. You recall that going from the Arizal downhill, for quite a walk, you get down to the Kever of Beis Yosef. But before that, we come to just a few feet down below the Rizal Siyan, is the Siyan of Shimon Zal, Rabbeinu Zal's Talmud, is Mishamish Bakadish. Of course, at that time, Shimon Zal was not there to sell. That's how we find Rabbeinu Zal's trek went from the Rizal right to the Beis Yosef. Rabbeinu Zal was very happy, overjoyed at this Sechus, being there the first time, being Zecha to get to, finally to get to these Siyan of Magdashim. This was an indescribable simcha. This was on Friday afternoon. On Friday evening, that is Friday night, at the meal in Tzfas, sitting among the Gedolei Tzadikim in Tzfas. And on Shabbos Kodesh in the morning, Rabbeinu Zal told to the assembled people the story of Rabbeinu Zal's trip to Eretz Yisrael. He also spoke Divrei Torah, words of Rabbeinu Zal. And he was very happy again at this Sechus, that he was zechut to get there to Israel, and there to spread the words of wisdom of Teda Rabbeinu Zal. This was during the Shabbos morning meal. At Shalosh Shudas, the third meal, as is customary, Rabbeinu Zal was invited to speak, and there Rabbeinu Zal tells that he spoke the Teda of Likutei Maran, Torah Reish Pei Beis, chapter 282 of Kutei Maran, which Rabbeinu Zal himself states is, in his opinion, the most important Torah of the entire Kutei Maran. Now, the fact that he spoke of this Torah then, there, is something that is so remarkable that we should take note of this very carefully. What does the Torah say? This is something that everybody has learned himself, has heard time and time again. And yet, each time you hear it, it is made to inject into a person's heart and neshama a new feeling, a rejuvenation. The Torah is based on a pasuk, Hazamna Elokai B'Eidi. Just one word, and then we'll see this remarkable point. Hazamna Elokai B'Eidi, the Vezal says that every person has within him a guilt complex. A person who is honest with himself, he feels guilty, he feels that he did not fulfill his mission, his duty, his responsibility to Hashem. In the Torah we find mitzvahs, each one of the mitzvahs has the word chayev. A person is chayev lihoniach tefillin. He's chayev litein stokah. He's chayev to do these mitzvahs. Chayev means one who is in debt. He owes a debt. He owes this debt to Hashem, he is not free until he pays off this debt. So each person has a debt to fulfill these mitzvahs. The person who does not fulfill it means that he still is in debt, and he's shirking his duty to pay to Hashem this debt. Now, a person feels this guilt complex that he has not paid the debt properly. When it came to putting on tefillin, he did not do it with the right kavanah. When it came to davening, he had his mind on something else. When it came to giving tzedakah, to giving meiser and tzedakah, he knows in his mind that he earned more than he gave. He earned more than he gave less than 10% of his true earnings. He tried to hide within himself. He tried to cover in his own mind a certain amount that he still feels guilty of not having paid up. Or he feels guilty in that he did not help another Jew where he could have. He did not give up himself for the sake of others. So when a person begins to study himself carefully, he finds that he is a Rasha. Rasha means he is guilty, he's evil. The person begins to look at himself with disdain and with a feeling of despondency, as though he himself is lost. What chance do I have of coming close to Hashem if there's nothing that I do properly? There's nothing that I do good. The only thing I do good is I eat well, I enjoy myself well, physically I'm perfect. When it comes to the Nuchnius, then I let myself down completely, and I know that my actions are very not fitting for a Jew. So actually I find nothing good in myself at all, therefore I consider myself lost. There's no hope for me whatsoever. Vinodal says this is the attitude of many Jews who mean well, who are honest at heart, and they mean well by this, and with this they fall into Yish. Vinodal says, what is the Eitzah for this? What is the solution? The solution is that, again, study yourself. And look into these same mitzvahs that you've done. I davened without kavona. Bad. Very bad. Failed. When I davened Shemoneh Esrei, my mind was on different things. Very bad. I rushed through the davening. I rushed through without kavona putting on tefillin. I got through and I ran. But there is something good. There's a tiny drop, a little dot, a little light in all this darkness. I did take time out. I could have gone to business earlier, and I spent time, a few minutes, to go to shul and daven. True, it was a very weak davening. But there's one good point there. There's something that still was good. Or I recall that a certain line in the davening, I sort of poured out my heart right there. I felt slachlonim. I said the words with more kavona than usual. There's a little dot there. There's a mi'at. Oyed mi'at. Still a tiny drop where it wasn't bad. There's a pasuk in Tillim. Damel says, V'oyed mi'at v'ein rasha. V'hispainata al mekaymai v'einenu. V'oyed mi'at, a little drop more. That little tiny dot, v'ein rasha, and there's no rasha. What does that mean? And in all this evil, there's a little mi'at. This oyed mi'at, still a bit. V'ein rasha, and there's no evil in that point. V'hispainata al mekaymai. Look at your place now, where you are. You're not there anymore. You've raised yourself to a higher level because you were dan lekavskos. You judge yourself to the benefit, to the good. Why? Because of that oyd miyat. This oyd that a person has, which means a little dot, a drop of good, that little bit of good, so tiny, could help to elevate a person to the highest madrega. You can judge yourself for the good. This, of course, Abinadal says, applies to judging others too. You see a person who's bad, and you just discard him. Discard any chances of trying to bring him closer, trying to help him. That's an evil act. Look for the good in each person. Search out a drop of good. It'd be at where that person is not bad, and you'll find he's no longer on this low madrega you thought he was. This includes yourself too. This, Abinadal says, is the translation of the words, Azamra lalikai bi'oidi. Azamra lalikai, I will sing. How can a person sing when he feels so badly, when he feels so despondent and so heartbroken, so low? But the oidi, with that oid mi'at that I have, that oid, azamra lalikai, I'll sing forth in happiness, be oidi with my oid mi'at. And this is what will raise a person, help a person to serve Hashem, because once he drops this atzmus, this sadness, this low feeling, he's up high. Very good. This is a wonderful statement, naturally. Let's study the statement ourselves, and we'll find that to us, this is a ray of hope in a dark world. Here we thought we were finished, we were wiped out. What good are we compared to tzaddikim? We are nothing. Our davening, our learning, our living is zero compared to good tzaddikim. I'm speaking about myself. So what chance do we have? What chance do we have in serving Hashem if our lives are so poor, impoverished spiritually? The answer is, Abinazar gave us the key. Abinazar said, do not despair, because every Jew has this oid miat. And because of this oid miat, then you're no longer a low person, you're high. Raise yourself with this oid miat and sing to Hashem a song of praise and happiness. Good. This, we see, is wonderful for us. If not for this statement, we'd be lost. Blessed Zal says, all the Tatus teachings of Abed Azal, this was, he felt, was the greatest and most important lesson. But we can understand ourselves saying that. We can understand that. For Tzaddikim, what have they got to worry about the Oid Miat? They're complete, they're perfect. They haven't got Oid Miat, that's good. They are cool on time. Completely perfect. What do they need this little drop of good to change from a Rasha to a Tzaddik? There's no evil within them at all. So why then? Two questions. Why did Elazar himself say about himself, I feel that the best Tata that I have learned is this Tata, Zamra Lekaibi Aidi, and this is the most important Tata that I have seen, ever heard yet, spiritually, Ruchlius. Elazar, who was so pure, who was a Tzaddik Kodesh Tomei B'Torah, needed this Eid Miat? The answer is that we do not know Tzaddikim. We do not realize that this is the greatness of Tzaddikim. Tzaddikim Duvasam is their Amesanusam. Their Anivus is so pure that if you think that you consider yourself low, that you need the Eid Miat, you have no idea what they think, these Tzaddikim. To them, they grasp at this assistance, this help in Ruchnius as a lifeline, as oxygen, life itself. This, therefore, Lussazal, knowing this, gave this shear to the tzaddikim living in Eitzel, who lived in the holy city of Tzfas, lived and breathed Kedusha constantly. And to them, this was giving them a new life. So that this Tata applies to everyone, no matter how low a person is, no matter how great or how high a person is, this Tata, Zamalei Kaibi Eidi, is a chiyus, a life that's injected into a Jewish neshama. That's why Moshe Zal felt that at Shalashunas, which is known as Mok Nizman and Ivan and Ivan, Ratzon Shebet Zoynas, the holiest time of the Shabbos, holiest time of the week of the year, at that moment they give, the Tani considered the holiest and most important of all. This was a Shabbos afternoon. On the next day, on Sunday, Nassazal again went to visit the Mikremes Agdeshim. He went first to the caver of Hesheya Ben Be'eli, Navi Hesheya, and to the caver of Hesheya Navi's father, Be'eli himself. He also visited the caver of the Yenuka, which Nassazal revealed the fact that a person may visit there. People were afraid to visit because of fear of a poisonous snake. Abinazar was the first one to enter into that cave, and this paved the way, opened the door for others to come to visit. Nassazar also visited the caver in Tzfas of Abinazar's daughter, her husband, and her son. All three are buried together on that same cemetery. Nassazal visited there. He felt it his duty, of course, to visit Abinazal's family buried there. And then, going still further down, he came to the Tzion of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yoyer. It's the last Tzion in the old cemetery. In fact, between that now, they have new graves. That's the circle of fallen rocks. There, he went to the mikveh of the Arizal. Note, the mikveh is an old mikveh. There's a certain good feeling, knowing that we personally zechet to go to that mikveh, The Magen Avraham Chassid himself was there too, not too long ago, a little over 100 years ago. But the idea that this mikveh has been frequented by the greatest tzaddikim, the Arizal himself, naturally. And the power of this mikveh, the kedusha of that mikveh, as is known, as is claimed, what it can do for the neshama of a person eternally. Moses went to this mikveh, and with that he culminated that day's visits. On the second day, that is on Monday, Moses went to the cave of the chutzpah of the Targumon, who was one of the ascetis Hanugei Malchus, one of the 10 rabbis who were killed by the Roman king. And the cave of Yehoyada HaKohen, that was on Monday. On Tuesday, Moses went in the morning to visit Meron. Now from Tzifas to Meron, as everyone should know, experienced this, it's approximately 9 kilometers, or about a little less than 5.5 miles. This 5.5 miles takes approximately 10 minutes. Now, the average traveling time, not going too fast, takes 10 minutes from Tzfas to Meron. 10 minutes or less today. Of course, there is a winding road, so actually the distance is less than that if you take a straight line. Those days, Nusazal traveled by mule. And the distance, this short distance, he left Tzfas in the morning and got to Meron just before noon, which means a good few hours for a trip that is so comparatively short. And then, of course, the Blessed Zal visited the Cave of Shimon Yechoyezal, Blessed Shimon, above the top of the hill of Yechon HaSandlar, Beis Hillel and his Talmidim. The Blessed Zal mentions the fact that Hillel HaZokein is buried inside, more in the inner recess of that cave. And then, Blessed Zal says he visited Rabbi Yitzchak, the entrance of Rabbi Shimon Yechoyezal's chutzir, the yard, entering Shimon Yechoyezal's seer, there's a yard there, on the right side you have the seer, Mark Rabbi Yitzchak, it's a mafchal. Bessel writes that he visited that seer, Rabbi Yitzchak. Now we once spoke about this, it's worth mentioning again, because this too is the main part of the story, showing the moral lesson we can learn. Nussazal writes, very simply, he visited Rabbi Yitzchak Tzion, which is in the yard of Rabbi Shimon Yechoyezal's Meona, the cave. A straight statement like that, when the Arizal says befedish in his writings that the Hamein Am, the people, of course this is the Shmuel that tells him, who writes this, commenting on the Arizal's words, the Hamaynam, the average people, make a very serious mistake because they think that Yitzchak Navcha is buried in the cave of Shimon Yechoyezal. This is a serious mistake. Arizal himself, at one time, spent time, he had the power of going to these graves with his eyes. He could see the neshama, the nefesh that was buried there. He could see it and talk to it also. There was no way there could be any mistake, Chas V'Shalom. Arizal was able to see every single neshama. He could see them standing over the grave, talk to them, converse with them. He wrote down, he charted this map, exactly where each one of these tzaddikim, these tanoim, were buried. This, Chaim Talzal wrote then a sefer showing, directing a person how to reach every one of these kvarim. Nowadays, of course, we have the Ministry of Tourism has put up signs in Israel with arrows showing where the kvarim, the kaimas of these tanoim are. In those days, they didn't have the Ministry of Tourism, but Arizal himself went and made certain exactly where each tana was. So there was no way that there could be an error there. Well, that Shmuel Talzal writes, the Hamaynam, the average person, erroneously has gotten into his mind that in the courtyard, forefront of Rabbi Shimon Yechoyezal's cave, there is buried Rabbi Yitzchak. And this is an error because his actual burial place that Arizal pointed out was much further away than Tzfas. And yet, Rabbi Yitzchak, who was undoubtedly the greatest bucky of his time in all of the phases of Teda, especially the Sifrei Kabbalah, the writings of Arizal, Kisvei Arizal, we see from his own sefer he wrote, Sforim. Surely, having read this, Abnasazal writes very blandly, very calmly, he visited the cave of Rabbi Yitzhak, the grave of Rabbi Yitzhak, in the courtyard of the Shem Yechayza, which would strike us as very strange. We explain that it is not the issue of who is buried there. Certainly there is a Tana that is a holy tzivin. Abnasazal writes it was Rabbi Yitzhak because to show that if the Hamoin Am, if the ordinary person says Rabbi Yitzhak is buried there, Abnasazal said, I will not show myself to be superior to them with my knowledge of the Arizal. I am one of the Hamoin Am. I am that simple and that low. I state also Rabbi Yitzhak. If there is an error, let me be part of the Hamoin, part of the Tzibur in the same error. This was the Anivus, the Tahara, the purity of Abnasazal. On the way back to Tzfas, Abnasazal visited the cave of Abinyon ben Yefes, Abihuda Rabbi Loi. If you recall, this is just a few minutes on the way. It's on the road, in fact, the paved road we have today. This is right at the side of the road. Abihuda Rabbi Loi and Rabbi Loi, his father. Also, there is buried Rabbi Crispin Doi and his mother. Abnasazal says he was not zechet to visit this scene, which he regretted, but for some reason he could not get to the scene at this time. Probably there wasn't enough time to visit it, because Sadoi is the one mentioned in the Zayir HaKadosh, one of the Shemi Choyazal and his Tamid went to visit, whose holy went to visit after his Stalkus. And on the way to Minon too, also he visited the B'yesi de B'yekes. This was all on Tuesday, his trip to Minon. On Thursday, Abnasazal set out to Tveria. He set out in the morning. Again, remember this ride is approximately a little less than an hour today. And it is an hour when it should be, really, no more than about 20 minutes. It's just that the roads are so winding, it's at least three times the distance. If there was a straight road, it would take one third of the time. Going by mule, they would avoid this winding road. They would probably, they could climb the mountains better than they conquered. So the trip took from morning until evening. It was a whole day's trip. Abnasazal got there. Again, there were people awaiting him. He was given a semi-royal welcome. They were aware of the fact that he was coming, that he had arrived, and of course his name had spread. The people there were zecher to know little of his greatness. Of course, we mentioned, we stressed the fact Abnasazal came there, and each one that he visited, he regarded as one superior to himself, one of Zechmi and Yisrael, as a person, an ordinary person should. Abnasazal acted like an ordinary person. The next day on Friday, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Abnasazal went to visit the Beis HaKodesh in Tveria, what is known today as the old Beis HaKodesh. Then he visited the cave of Rab Nachman Hori Denker. That's Abinazal's grandfather. Abinazal is Rab Nachman ben Simcha. His father's father was Rabbi Nachman Hori Denker, who was one of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem HaKodesh. In fact, there's a whole story about how there was an attempt at a shidduch made between the Arizal and the Shem Tov and Rab Nachman Hori Denker. Shidduch which did not work out for some reason. Nachman Denker was a very close, very loyal Talmud of Hashem HaKadosh. There also he visited the grave of Mendel Vitebske Zal and Rabbi Avron Kaliske Zal. Rabbi Avron Kaliske Zal, you recall, was the tzaddik when Abinazal had met in Eretz Yisrael not too long prior to this trip. And when Abinazal said, about him, Abinazal said that he is the one person he has met who had Shlemus, complete tzaddik. Also the cave of the Shipatipkinov and other tzaddikim, which Moses does not enumerate. The cave of Rav Kana and his Talmidim. Rav Kana was an Amid of the Gemara, his Talmidim. And then the Tzion of Rameya Balanes. Then they went to the Chamei Tveria, the hot springs of Tveria, and they bathed in these hot springs. So in case a person goes to Tveria and doubt whether he should bathe in the hot springs of Tveria, there is your heta. Blessings are always there. It's kosher waters to bathe in. Of course, we just learned recently that the Chami Tveria are the remains of the hot waters of the Mabul. The hot springs of the Mabul, this is one of those waters that remain. But they do have, the Gemara, they do have very curative powers, very powerful, therapeutically, they are excellent. The Kever of Rabbi Yirmiyo, Nosazal says, was known to have been buried in an upright position, standing. Now, it's interesting to note that Nosazal says this, again, a strange item to note. Yirmiyo is buried standing. This is something that is passed down the Kabbalah from father to son. It is not clearly written about his being buried standing. It is written in the Fetish that the Meir Balanes was buried standing, in upright position. This was not mentioned before. So again, there is a hidden reason for the Nosazal making these statements. And of course, again, we'd say the hidden reason is the simple Anivus of Nosazal. And then he spent the Shabbos in Tveria, and it was a very happy Shabbos, naturally. I saw his Shabbos Kodesh, and Nosazal was invited to a Chasana. He was happy that he was there to be in a Chasana in Eretz Yisrael. Those days, of course, a Chasana in Eretz Yisrael was different than these days because it was those days. Nowadays, too, it's a big schus to be in a Chasana in Eretz Yisrael, or anywhere to be in a Chasana, especially if you're part of it yourself. On the next week, on Monday, still in Tveria, Nosazal visited the Kever, the Tzir of Rabbi Akiva, and his 24,000 Talmidim. It is strange that just in the recent few years ago, the Kever of Rabbi Akiva was marked. Until about 4 or 5 years ago, there was no sign whatsoever on the Tzir of Rabbi Akiva. On top of that tall mountain, there was a sort of an entrance to a tunnel, sort of, and there was no sign showing it, but those who knew, this was the place where Akiva was buried. Now, someone recently gave of his own, one of the Sephardim there, the Mishabeach Sephardi, he built, at his own expense, he built a beautiful tzion, with a dome, enclosed dome. This really beautifies the tzir because this can be seen from different parts of the city now. Nosazal says that this tzir of Akiva was on top of the mountain, and below, along the side of the mountain, are buried all his 24,000 Talmidim. There are no markers there, but it is a fact. And the fact is that there's nothing built on that mountain. That should be sufficient proof. Also, Nosazal says that opposite the Mekiva Sion, though there's no marker till this day still, opposite the Sion is buried Rabbi Akiva's wife. Now this obviously refers to Mekiva's first wife, Rachel, who was the sole inspiration to Rabbi Akiva. Akiva himself stated that everything he had, he owed to his wife, the one who helped him, inspired him, to go study immediately after the wedding, who told him, leave me and go to the yeshiva to study. The reason I married you is that you should study Torah, you should become a Talmud Chacham, a tzaddik. Of course, it was to her credit that he became so great. When he returned, you recall the story that his Talmidim wanted to push her aside, and he even told her to beware because she is just as holy as he is, and he's Tana that they learned and that he learned is due mostly, mainly, to her credit. We see how women, too, can rise to such meteoric heights. The Akiva's wife was so great that we find rarely any tzaddikim in history compared to her height. This was on Monday. On Tuesday, Nosazal visited the Tzion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and his Talmidim. Now we cannot elaborate on this point, but what I do not say shall remain obvious. We just say what the Blessed Zohar says, and the rest is understood. There's an obvious point there. And also, next to his tzion, there is also a tzion of Rabbi Yochanan, born on the island of Yisrael. Also, the tzion of Amir Avasi and the Shulah HaKadosh. And these are all, nearly all, everyone knows. Those who have been there know that this foreyard, the courtyard just off the street, you have Yochanan Zakkai and his Talmidim, Rabbi Avasi and the Shulah HaKadosh, but there is one tzion there that is not marked. To most people, it's a mystery today. Whose tzion is that? Rabbi Nosson Zal says this is the tzion of Rabbi Yochanan, the Reish, chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, who was the Rebbe of the Shlokish. So this clears up a mystery, modern day mystery. Of course, you cannot tell it to others because this is a breast-lover information. So at least we know the truth about whose seed it is. In any event, this is all that Nassau says for that day, period. On Wednesday, the next day, Nassau went to visit the Kevorim of Noshim Tzidkonius. This again proves a very important point, that if a person is a tzaddik, a person is a very holy tzaddik, even if she is a woman, she is still regarded as a tzaddik. This is not subtract from the fact that she is a tzaddik. And here he went to visit these kevorim, same awesome, respectful attitude as the ones he got to Tuna. The kevorim visited were those of Elisheva Bas Aminadov, the wife of Aaron HaKohen, Tzipora, the wife of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yocheved, the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu, Chulda HaNeviah, Bilhah and Zilpah, the wives of Yaakov Avinu, Avigail, the wife of David HaMelech, and some say that there too is the grave of Esther HaMalka. There are some who dispute some of these names. The Blessed also says there's machlokes about some of them only, but all admit that the majority of the names mentioned, at least the majority, are all buried there, so that it is certain that you have this grave site set aside for the Gedolei Noshim Tzidkonius in the world. Aside from, of course, the cave of four couples, Nesal Pelo and Cave Aracha. This is the other place. This one is in Tveria. All this was on Wednesday. Wednesday is the day of the Lavona, which is the Nukva. We went to visit these Sionim. On Thursday, again, we went back to visit the cave of the grave of Rav Kahana and his Talmidim. And on Friday, he went to the middle of Tomashiana, Zal, again to the Meir Balanes, and again to the waters of Tveria, to bathe in the hot waters of Tveria. This was the night of Shabbos. And then Muslim got to think about the fact that he has to think of going back. He's not settling here. And he was very, very short of funds. This began to press him very seriously. He could find no solution to this, because you cannot collect money from those who receive money. He was among the people in Eretz Yisrael who send out Mishalochim to collect tzedakah for them. As King David said, you have a ditch, a pit, a big hole. How do you fill up that hole? A hole means something lacking. How do you fill it up? You cannot take earth from that pit, take out dirt from that hole, and fill up the hole with that dirt. You must have something else from a side place to fill it up. Thus, he found himself in a quandary. How does he get money now? Expense money to return. He was concerned about this, and he had bitachon. Hashem would help. On Sunday, he was approached by a woman who told him that she wants to send money to her son in Chutz Lodz, who lives near the Blessed Zohar. This, of course, is a very unusual switch. A woman in Eretz Yisrael to send money to a living outside of Eretz Yisrael, very strange. In fact, even today it would sound very strange. Money usually is channeled in one direction to Eretz Yisrael. This woman said she wants to send money to him, to her son. Might have been a case where she was very old, and she wanted to give her belongings to the son. She had her money lying invested in a pair of silver candelabras. So she told the messenger, I'll take this silver candelabra, take it with you on your way back to Alexandria. There, I allow you to sell this candelabra and bring the money to my son, which means that you can use this money for expenses then. Lay it out for expense. When you get home, you take the money in your house and give it to my son, this woman said. This way, this was a solution to the Messenger's financial problems. He's very happy about this chus. Hashem helped him to solve this problem. He now would have enough money for the trip. Next day, Messenger left. He stayed over Shabbos. This was on Sunday. On Monday, he left Tveria. And he got to Tzfas on Tuesday. It took him a day to get back to Tzfas. In order to get, if you recall, to get to the port, Tveria is more to the east. And you go towards the west, the Mediterranean Sea. So from Tveria towards Tzfas, and from Tzfas to the port to Haifa. From Tzfas to Haifa today is approximately an hour and a half's ride. The blessings are went from Tveria to Tzfas on Tuesday, and on Wednesday he visited the cave of Rabbi Yehu. On Thursday, he visited the cave of the Arizal, and he stayed there in Tzfas till after Shabbos. On Monday, again the cave of Hosea. On Tuesday, he left Tzfas in order to his first leg of the journey to return home. And when he left Tzfas, practically the entire city joined together to be malavet, to accompany him on his way out. Very important to have his company, because this is supposed to save a person from any dangers on the journey. It's possible that the dangers that confronted him later, he was helped a lot by this larger company group, especially so many tzaddikim. He left Tzfas on Tuesday. He traveled the entire day, and on Wednesday he arrived in Haifa. It took him probably more than 24 hours to get to Haifa from Tzfas. An hour and a half journey by car today, and all that not on soft cushioned seats, but on the back of a mule. If you ever tried it, you find that it's very difficult to go for an hour, especially those that I was not used to, was not accustomed to riding on backs of mules. But he went, this is all done by Simcha, he accepted everything by Simcha because he was going in Eretz Yisrael. He arrived on Wednesday in Haifa, and on Thursday in Haifa he went to visit the Mikremes HaKadosh there. He went to the Tzion Av, the Yitzhak Nafcha. This is what it says in Haifa. We have an explanation for that. Abimio Demin Haifa, mentioning Gemara. And he went to the Oras Eliyahu Navi. He came to Eliyahu Navi. And he came there, together with a group of people. He was refused admittance to the cave. A very serious argument broke out. Abnasazal was the spokesman for the group, and he was very persuasive. He convinced the caretakers there to allow them all to enter into the cave of the Yonavi. He was very happy when he came in there. In the cave, they all danced and sang the Gunim. Simcha, they got to the cave of the Yonavi. Then they went to the cave of Elisha Hanavi. Abnasazal spent a week in the city of Haifa. Well, he was very happy that he was zecher to get to Haifa. What is special about Haifa? The person goes to Eretz Yisrael today, he goes directly from Yerushalayim to the Golan, the Kodesh HaKodesh, Tzfas, Tveria. Along those roads, very few visit Haifa from the Kodesh HaKodesh, except, of course, for the Oras and the Anavi. Nassazal was especially happy spending time in Haifa, because to him, the value of Haifa was the fact that the Benazal, when he arrived at Eretz Yisrael, arrived at Haifa. And he stayed in Haifa, not just for the time spent there. The Benazal's main day is Rosh Hashanah. The Benazal came there and stayed in Haifa on Rosh Hashanah, stayed there during the entire Seder Yom Teshuva, was there on Yom Kippur, and then the entire holiday of Sukkot was spent too in Haifa. Since that the place was that important, Abinazal's arriving in Eretz Yisrael was of benefit to every single person in the world. This is an important point. People say this is beneficial to Rabbi Elazar's Talmidim, or to his followers, or to those who believe in it, later generations. Rabbi Elazar said that's a very false idea, misrepresentation of fact, because the Tzaddik Emes, even though he is hidden, even though his light is hidden and not seen, not recognized, the fact remains that every single neshama in the world nurses from the light of that Tzaddik Emes. So Rabbi Elazar's light was increased manyfold, infinitely, by going to Eretz Yisrael. The four steps that he took in Eretz Yisrael were what elevated him to the position where he was so far above his madrega before, he was actually ashamed of what he had reached before Eretz Yisrael. When before this trip, he was already the Tzaddik Emes of the entire world, the entire universe. So getting to Eretz Yisrael, taking those four steps, affected the neshama of every single person in the world. In this case, we could say that this has its counterpart, resembles the story of Adam HaRishon. The Gemara says that when Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz HaDaas, every single neshama that exists was affected by this and lost by it. Each neshama has something, a defect, because of the Eitz HaDaas, because of the eating of Eitz HaDaas by Adam HaRishon. This defect was suffered by every single neshama except certain limited few tzaddikim. But in this case, by the same token, Rabbi Elazar's arriving in Eretz Yisrael, since the tzaddik emes is kolel, he encompasses all the neshamas of the whole world, Mimela, his aliyah, affected every single neshama. So we believe that through Rabbi Elazar, a lot of that defect was removed. But that defect could be removed only if a person has the keli to receive this tikkun. And that keli is emunah. A person who is ma'amin can receive it. A person who is kafir excludes himself from this light, shuts out this light of the tzaddik emes. Ashrei to those who are ma'amin. This is what the Blessed All said. When he got there, he was so overjoyed. He was zecha to be in Eretz Yisrael and to be in that very same place. When Rabbi Elazar was in Eretz Yisrael, most important to me, when Rabbi Elazar arrived in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Elazar took those first four steps where he achieved this great aliyah, the highest aliyah possible, in Haifa, close to the cave of the Aliyah Navi. That's what Rabbi Elazar was there to arrive at. And therefore, he spent an entire week there before leaving Eretz Yisrael, filled with the simcha, rejoicing over the fact that he was there to this aliyah too. This was his final port destination, where from which he would leave for Chutz Lartz. He now arranged very quickly for a ship, passage on board a ship for himself and his chaver. They got a ship which there were a number of Jews. In other words, they had at least an assurance that no matter how long the trip would take, they would have a minyan. A million of people to daven every day. In addition, what turned out to be very fortunate, Blessed Zohar remembered to take along a shofar with him. So they set out from the city of Haifa on what they hoped would be a very short journey, but turned out to be, we may classify as a nightmare, and they balanced the rest of the adventures, Blessed Zohar's return to his home. We'll take this up in the next year. We hope to conclude this, Mitzvashim, the next year. And again, we point out that through all the parts of this story, Sipurim Ma'aseh Tzaddikim, we find that the basis, the aside, is Emunah. Emunah in Tzaddik Emes, which leads a person to true Emunah in Hashem and the Tzaddik Desha and to Chayim Nitzchiyim. We should be zechut to fulfill our duty, our chiyuv in this Emunah, and thereby rise to become closer in serving Hashem, and merit the seeing, becoming a Mashiach, the 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 M